I'm slowly getting through Star Rail because I don't want to blow, like, because I keep hearing, like, if you get really buff really quick, you're going to run out of things to do. So I'm kind of, like, taking my time when it comes to playing Star Rail.
I've been hearing that game is, my friend told me that it's fun to play.
It's good. Honkai Star Rail. I mean, yeah. Unless you're, like, a Genshin fiend and you're just going to hate on Star Rail for whatever reason. Like Genshin people are review bombing Star Rail.
Why?
Because it's not Genshin.
Yeah, because it's not
Genshin. Because you know why? It's turn-based. And Genshin people are pissed.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
I want the adventure. I want the adventure of, you know,
I want the adventure. I want to be fucking air dashing all the time. Like a fucking... But on a side note, though, I am looking to cosplay as Arlen. He is best boy. He's very precious. He's short enough, and he has the same skin color as I do. I think I can pull him off. The only problem is he is very bulky. That is a very bulky outfit. Yes. Woo!
Gotta be kidding me. How could you shit on me? You ain't got shit on me. Shit on me. Gotta be kidding me. How could you shit on me? You ain't got shit on me. Why they choose my pubes anytime they wanna sit? Couldn't ride the wave and now you riding dicks. Some bitches got no shame cause they rely on dick. Talking about a tip. Right around time, don't miss. Louisville Dodger shit. Nick don't dodge, don't miss. But shorty gone down on this. Riverside ride a mess. 380 by the leg. Got me feeling like rocking shit. You niggas still popping shit. Say that was mine, stayed on my mind. I say to myself mostly. I stay on your mind, I stay in your mouth. You stay in denial mostly. Marsh it out, I need a new towel. Jump in the crowd, hold me. I play in the crowd, that's 200,000. The world is my now. Marsh pit, open that mosh pit. Gotta be kidding me. Sick when they look at me. Just look at the drip on me. Shitting me. Gotta be kidding me. Fuck, how could you shit on me? You ain't got shit on me. Stay away from Flacco, cause it's always lit. Fuck her like a curfew, girl, I'm going next. All I need's a moment with my pad and pen. Praise the Lord for my niggas, anything crash for this beat. I thank the Lord for my bitches that I smash every week. I put it all in the dust and I hope go fast asleep. Since she been on me for months and left my message on scene. What the fuck? On your way to canal, drip it or drown, pick with Michelle, post. Fast forward a few months, fast forward a few thousand, you flooded it out, post. I'm running the miles, they running around, I figured it out, post. From running your mouth, bust open your head, then take it to trial. Shitting me, gotta be kidding me. How could you shit on me? You ain't got shit on me. Shitting me, gotta be kidding me. How could you shit on me? You ain't got shit on me. First I like to praise the Lord, I fight the devil. Happy every day, I'm thankful, waking up. I'ma have to wake up. Sleeping on my shit,
man. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Kellogg.com Blogcast. My name is Matthew, and tonight we're going to talk about various conventions across the United States. We'll talk about Fanime, Anime Expo, Otakon, Crunchyroll Expo, maybe some Zack Anime talk, and we'll kind of like bring you back into focus as we get closer and closer to these particular conventions. And to do so, I have myself, but I also have Nate.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. Hope everyone is having an awesome celebration of Mexican culture.
Jericho.
Buenas noches, mi amigos! Para de pueblo!
Hey, Ryan, can you play that shut the fuck up sound effect that you have?
With pleasure.
Shut the fuck up!
All right, so the first convention that we'll start talking about.
I don't know. That's a good way to lead into the topics tonight. I'm like, wait. Okay, fine. We don't want to talk anymore then.
Shut the fuck up.
All right.
Shut the fuck up.
This is bad to have Ryan on the soundboard.
I've been saying that for the last year. All right. Let the board cool off a little bit. We gotta do some discussionals. All right. So the first con we're talking about is happening almost actually.
Oh, just one. Me then, like seriously, just leave me in the dirt while everyone else is getting intro'd.
I told you to play the button. Okay, fine.
I'm committing war crimes for pizza on Cinco de Mayo. I'm sorry. Also, convention wise, it sounds California biased from you, Matt.
What do you mean?
We're talking about conventions all around the country. California bias.
Yeah, we're going to talk Otakon.
Wait, we haven't talked about Otakon too.
It's in the title, dude.
Wait, you brought Otakon too. So the thing is, like, it's still around the world, well, around America-ish.
Oh, you see this guy? Number one bullshit guy.
Fine. We got a little bit of West Coast bias up in here. Do I give a shit? No.
I mean, we're California Conventions blog for a reason.
Yes.
Exactly.
Speaking of California conventions, the first convention we're going to talk about today is happening 3 weeks from now? Yeah, 3 weeks from now, and that is FanimeCon down in San Jose. And in order to do this properly, because as we learned last year, things get posted on Facebook, not all the information is out there. So the best place to go is their Twitter account, and we're going to go all the way back to March 1st when they announced their e-gaming tournament lineups. It includes Tekken 7, Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Guilty Gear Strive.
Was that really like the first like big headline news though? That's the thing. Because like I believe there are like more before that.
There is, but we're starting at March 1st because
I do like the fact that FanimeCon does have like comics, but that was also made by an artist. So that's actually pretty cute. Mm-hmm. Like Masquerade registration, J Fashion designer, you know, signups and all. So
honestly, I love the graphic design.
It does look cute, right?
Yeah, it's great. And we'll talk about that in a little bit when it comes to some of these announcements that they've been doing. After that announcement about e-gaming, announcement came through that Kyle McCarley is going to be a guest of honor. He is Mizuzuki and Iron-Blooded Orphans. He's Mob and Mosaika 100. He's Tadano, Komi Can't Communicate, Red Blood Cell, It Sells at Work Code Black. He also has credits in Faces of Unlimited Blade Works, Your Lie in April, Nier Automata, Fire Emblem Echoes, Final Fantasy 15, and then a whole bunch of other credits.
There's a lot of video games that he's actually in also. Like, was it Nier Automata? He's also in Fire Emblem Echoes, Zeke God Eater 3. Oh, he's even Harry Potter in Wizards Unite. That was pretty funny.
hey, the man has... Hey, I'm just gonna say, though, the man has a sweet mustache.
He does, actually, from the picture that you see on Twitter.
I can't stop looking at it. It's amazing.
So the thing is, like, cool. We end up getting a cool, English voice actor coming in. But, yeah, as FanimeCon always has, there's always been great English voice actors that came into the convention. So good to have Kyle come by. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with his works, but it looks like he'll have a fun time here at San Jose, especially with a lot of fans who know him in the English voice acting roles. So, yeah.
Now, the next thing we'll talk about is that Masquerade is coming back because on March 4th, they mentioned that registration is now open.
And I like how the comics look, by the way.
Well, comic strips are kind of like nice little old chibis. Like, I notice there's a lot of Spy Family bias, but it's still kind of interesting to look at.
One of the girls is cosplaying Marin. From what was it? My Dress Up Darling.
They can still do that cosplay within a cosplay and pretend it's Marin cosplaying as one of the other.
I've been looking at one of
there should have been more diversity there.
I look at the comic strip. There's like there's a Icarus Recoil cosplay right there. Let's see. There's a lot of Spy X Family. I just realized, like, one of the comic strips is Spy X Family.
Well, both of them feature Spy Family. It's very interesting because then on March 9th, they announced that Aikosu are guests of honor because there's two of them, looks like, and their cosplay was Spy Family. So take it as is.
I don't know what, but it feels like even if the theme for Fanime is like, you know, Letterman, I like the fact that they're trying to like hint the fact that, oh, we love Spy X Family, so why don't we picture Spy X Family stuff with Fanime stuff?
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Lay is coming back as a guest of honor for FanimeCon 2023. We already know what she does, but just in case you don't know, she's Asuna Sword Art Online. She's Rhea in Fire Emblem Three Houses. She's Makoto in Persona 5. She has credits in Borderlands, Hyper Dimension Neptunia, Boruto, Sailor Moon, just to name a few. So Jeremy Lay is coming back, and we'll talk about her towards the very end.
Don't forget, she's also voiced Makoto Nichiba from Persona 5.
I just mentioned that.
Oh, you did? Oh, yes. I didn't hear that. Crap, my bad.
Hey, my guy.
My bad. Shut up.
I swear to God, it's like that one freaking part from Conker's Bad Fur Day in the barn with the paint cans. I already said that. Shut up.
Okay, go ahead.
Black and White Ball's coming back. Wait, were they there last year? Yeah, they were there last
year. They were last year.
It was like hella limitations, though.
Well, and also they were the ones that were saying that, this is an enhanced COVID-19 zone, so you have to wear N95, but it wasn't required at any other point in the convention. So I remember that. Black and White Ball is coming back, and it's happening on the Sunday of FanimeCon.
As always. But the other thing, too, is it's still at the Marriott Hotel, which is kind of small. It's not the same as compared to the Signia by Hilton. I guess they're still having a fun time at the Black and White Ball. But yeah. Sorry, I made a mistake. It was supposed to be at the... forgot the name of the hall, but it was behind the Tech Museum. But it's actually a really massive ballroom there compared to what the Marriott has. So I guess that's the difference. It's pretty small compared to the one that they had before.
Yeah. We're going to come back to you. March 18th announcement about COVID-19. We'll come back to you. Let's see. A whole bunch of looking like cosplay announcements. J Fashion models they're looking for. So it looks like J Fashion is wrapping that up. The Completionist is a guest of honor. Okay. Sure. Why not?
I like your art.
So it'd be an interesting YouTuber, at least. I mean, that's something to look forward to. I mean, I know there's some pretty good anime fans, they're fans of this guy. I mean, if I was going, I wouldn't mind going to a panel or two.
Kensuke Ueda is coming back. He is the 2.5D anime guy that was there last year as a virtual guest of honor. More importantly, he was the virtual Music Fest guest, and he's back this year, and he's going to be there in person.
Ooh.
Yay.
Which means...
we didn't call that one last year.
Which means they're going to have an actual in-person Music Fest. Now, whether or not they're over at the San Jose Civic or they're in another area, we don't know that yet. So we'll find out as we get a little bit closer.
Something tells me that it's going to happen anyway, because when I was going to the Radwimps concert, there literally was a post saying that FanimeCon is happening. So I'm assuming that they do have that space to have Music Fest. They have Masquerade there too, so I'd imagine it would be in the Civic Center.
That is true. Again, if you're into the whole Lolita J Fashion, there's a lot of stuff happening for FanimeCon that is listed here on the Twitter account. PC Gaming is coming back. The last time they ran it was 2019. They're doing League of Legends 5v5. They're doing Valorant 5v5. And then they're doing one-on-one StarCraft 2.
Where's the Fortnite? Where's the blood spray?
If it was Fortnite, I'll be down for that.
I mean, where's Fortnite? Where's the CSGO? Sure. Where's, all the modern shooters, or at least modern other strategy games that's not the big esports titles, you know?
I don't know. It could be a number of things. It's because they just want to keep it simple. They just want to run 3 tournaments. Maybe it's because there's not enough staff.
But if you're lugging all that equipment, at least bring something worth playing, damn it.
This doesn't mean that you can go play at Anime Expo. You can go play on their PCs for free. But when it comes to their tournament lineup, this is what they're running. That doesn't mean you can go there and play a game of CSGO or play some other games.
You can play Fortnite there.
Or melty blood in the bathroom, as per tradition.
What?
Melty blood has evolved to the point where they can be out of the bathroom and finally into the ballrooms and main events of Evo. So congratulations, melty blood, you made it out of the bathroom.
But Matt, I want to play Madden in the bathroom again.
speaking of stuff that happens in the bathroom, Silver Island is coming back.
That's a perfect way to actually introduce, what was it? The Silver Island. Yeah. Get some goodies over at Silver Island. Bad news, Matt. I don't think gambling's in it.
That's fine with me. My only thing is, do we know where it's happening?
I don't know, actually. This is just applications right now, but we have no announcement. Okay. I don't know. I don't think we have an announcement about where it will be. It would suck if it would be at the Doubletree, because that's another bus ride for you to get over there.
But in 2018, it was over the Doubletree, and there
was... It was, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't the Doubletree, it would suck just because you have to actually take a bus ride to get over there. But it would be great if the Signia can open up their space for Fanime. But, you know, that was a long time ago. So, fingers crossed that Signia can actually do something with Fanime here.
Fanime Con has also announced Hirokatsu Kihara as a guest of honor. He's worked at Studio Ghibli, and he produced Castle in the Sky, Totoro, and Kiki's Delivery Service.
So he's a veteran with Studio Ghibli. So yes. That's actually pretty remarkable to have like one of the folks who've worked on these classic movies come to Fanime. So I think I would imagine a lot of folks will come by to see, like, hear his insights about the anime industry back then and how he made anime films, etc. Especially big fans who love Studio Ghibli. So,
well, yeah, it's a hire, but it's definitely a good runner up. I mean, at the very least, it's still someone in the industry that has worked with Hayao Miyazaki at the very least.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it says here in his bio that he began his journey as a production coordinator for Valley of the Wind. For Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, and then Hayao Miyazaki saw him and brought him over to Ghibli. So I'm like, ah, shit, okay. And then once he with the Ghibli, he worked on some of the Ghibli titles that I listed before. And then even after that, he left. He became a scary story author. So he's kind of like he's in like in that Junji Ito class.
Okay, cool, all right. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine a lot of people would go for his panels or get autographs from him, so that's a good guess to bring him over.
One thing I noticed, and this wasn't announced prior, is that there is a $1,000 Best in Show skit prize for the Masquerade as part of a $5,000 prize pool. A far cry from Capcom Pro Tour 2023, where if you win their tournament, you get $1 million playing Street Fighter VI as part of a $2 million pool. But it's the Fanime Con Masquerade.
Come on. You can't compare that to Fanime, man. I mean...
Yes, I can.
Self-funded versus actually company funded. I can't. You can't do much.
This is coming out of a convention that we thought was, or at least we were saying that was literally in the can about 2 years back.
Well, from what I'm hearing, they may or may not be. We'll talk about that towards the very end. No, I want to note that announcement was April 22nd. April 24th, 2 days later, press registration went up. So it's kind of like, oh, now you throw rest registration up. And it's like a month before con? Fine, whatever. You know, the same day, confirmation that swap meet is coming back.
Hey, that's right. Hey. It's been a while, but I'm glad swap meet is back. Last year they didn't have it, which, you know, makes sense. But this year I can't wait to finally get back to swap meet. It's actually a really good shopping place for those who don't want to spend a lot of money. And at the same time, people are selling their goods, like what I'm doing a lot. So it's great to have it back. And it's a lot of fun time, especially at swap meet. So, I mean, you've seen it, Matt. You were there when you experienced swap meet and how it is.
Yeah, so it is exciting. And I'm not sure there's any signups left because the applications have been up for almost about a week now. So I kind of wonder.
They could probably be gone. And there's like some last minute ones that do come up. I mean, to be fair, it does. I mean, it's a big space. The South Hall over at Fanime is huge of a big tent. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants to get a spot, you can get it like even on the day of. But we'll see.
That one time where Iggy prevents us from going to swap meet.
The iguanas? Oh, you guys went to iguanas and you didn't go to swap meet?
Well, we had planned to go to swap meet, but we ate at Iggy's to the point where we ate ourselves.
But this is where you did the challenge?
Well, I mean, we just split like... It wasn't that.
It was fine, but you wanted to go rest because your foot was hurting.
No, that was after, like a day or two later. But Iggy's, the day that we ate Iggy's, we were just fucking so full. We just said fuck it.
I still want to win. I want to walk that shit off anyway. Speaking of merchandise, you can now pre-order through Fanime for con merchandise, which I always love. Like I've always done it in the past where you pick out the size, you pick out the shirts, you pick out the stuff you want, you order it, pay for it, and then you go pick it up right at con. So there's no issues.
Because it's not mad at Fanime or not at Fanime without him buying at least one Fanime con shirt or merch.
Of course. One really good news is that the dance hall is back. So,
oh, sweet. Yes. That's sweet. That means like late night dancing, to say. Or if Fanime was back in the days, was it dance till like 5 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
That's great, right? That's the part.
Mm-hmm. Maid Cafe is back, but I think we knew that already. As I said, if you were into J fashion, especially the trunk show, they have a list of vendors out that you can take a look at. And then the final one I really want to bring up, and this is where I kind of get a little bit worried, is that video rooms are back, but they're moving over to Silver Island.
Okay, that's weird, because isn't Silver Island supposed to be 18 up stuff only?
Can I get a hand check?
But, that's hentai room. Hentai room, eh?
I think what they're trying to say is we'll have these video rooms during the day. All we have at this one particular location is just video rooms. And then as we transition into the evening, into the night, then everything opens up and then the video rooms become, the hentai madness, all the AMV hells get shown. You know, all that jazz, all the stuff that we loved, you know, going in old school fan.
Midnight Madness is supposed to be the long anime marathons that last until daytime.
Yeah. So,
which I think is it's interesting because we don't know where Silver Island is. Oh. And we're hoping it's going to be the Signia. It just tells me that what.
Wait, why do you keep saying the Signia? Because that's where panels is.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, you know, they would actually put more space in the Fairmont Signia area. Because, I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting when you put Silver Island. Would you be, like, in that, like, left side of the Fanime, of the convention center? Would it be in the middle where those new rooms are? It's the bit, I don't know. There's still no, like, map of how FanimeCon is going to be. But,
well... Yeah, and that's the big question that we have moving forward is where is Silver Island? Because if it's in an old location over at the Doubletree, there might be a slight issue.
That's going to be a big issue, yeah.
That's going to be a lot of big issues, especially like the normal attendees who are just trying to watch anime are at a completely different area far away from the convention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no point. At this rate, you've alienated half of your fan base, if not at least a quarter of your fan base, that are there to like not only have fun, but have fun and watch different animes with people they want to watch with or have that anime session. Like, it takes me back because, like, it takes me back to the time that me and Nate and Omid were sitting at, well, I mean, I was stage zero, but even then, like, just being able to sit around the convention and watch an anime or a movie together is like, that's the passion that is Fanime, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I remember pulling. Full 24-hour sessions, and like at 5 a.m., you just stumble into a video room, and hey, you're watching Arnold High School Host Club. Cool. Yeah. At 5 in the morning.
All the games that you play, like from what morning to like from like midnight all the way to dusk, and then you just say like, oh fuck, it's time for me to get back to bed, or I could just go straight to the video room and just watch whatever anime's on. You know,
yeah. I mentioned something, but I don't want to make Matt mad.
Why? What did you talk about?
My Kanji Tatsumi at 2 in the morning.
No, shut the fuck up, dude. Shut the fuck up and we're moving on. And
I wasn't gonna say it, and you asked what you walked into it.
You could bring up so many. You could bring up me being drunk at F Anime. You could bring up anything that happens with me at 2 a.m. in the morning. That's Anime Expo, though. That's different. And we'll get to Anime Expo in just a minute.
Okay.
But to finish off the discussion about anime, because it is, we are in the weekend of Cinco de Mayo, Kentucky Derby, and 3 weeks of anime. And one of the things that we don't know yet, and I've checked social media places for anime.
Yeah, from what I've been hearing from insiders, it is going to be it's not going to be a 24-hour con. It's going to be like probably the same hours, just like what happened last year.
But again, they have not announced that, and I'm not going to proclaim right away that I was right, that they're going to bring everything back but the 24-hour stuff. But we'll talk about that as we get closer to anime, or when we get to our preview podcast in 2 weeks, actually. That we're going to be recording we're already there doing another preview podcast.
I'm not ready for anime. I still have to like get all my swap meet stuff done and even think about my cosplay list, even if I have a cosplay list. So it's just like, oh fuck, anime is real close and I'm not ready right now. So yeah, it's this con crunching, guys.
Yes.
As
of right now, as I mentioned, we're going to hold off on talking about COVID-19 when it comes to anime, because I'm going to roll about it with another convention that we mentioned, and we're going to go straight a month later, and we're going to talk about Anime Expo. And we're going to start from March 15th, when Anime Expo and Atlas announced that they're going to be doing the first ever Shin Megami Tensei concert in North America. And this is this is part of the 30th anniversary of the Shin Megami Tensei franchise. And the full title of the show is SMT 30th Live Band of Shadows. It is going to be at the Novo on July 1st, which is Saturday. So I think that's day one of Expo. And there are a couple of things that we'll talk about with that concert when we get to some of the more recent announcements.
I was going to say, like, for those that are going to be attending Anime Expo, this is going to be exciting, considering, like, what happened last year when it came to Atlas or Persona celebrating their stuff.
So, one of the things they brought up later on, a couple of days later, is that they're bringing in some guests. They're bringing in Christian Lamonte. He is the voice of Demi-Fiend. Casey Mongillo, the voice of Wow. I still cannot pronounce his fucking name. God damn it.
Nahobino.
And then Davey Mills, who does the voice of Owlgami.
SMT5 stuff. Ooh.
And then on the same day, they also announced that they're doing a pre-show reception that you can add on, which includes early access, lounge seating, appetizers, and
Hors d'oeuvre,
and then opportunity for a meet and greet with the voice actors that I mentioned earlier, and an autographed card. I wonder if tickets are. Let's do some searches, shall we?
Lord,
it's on sale right now. Let's go see if it's still available. Let me check. 18 plus up event.
GA, okay.
Yeah, it says select seats. Let me check the... they're in the back now. Or you can go to the general floor for $70.
Wow.
I'd rather take the floor.
Matt will say it. So, as I'm looking right now, the cheapest right now is $50 for GA balcony, $70 for GA standing, $85 for VIP balcony, and then VIP pit is the most expensive one at $95. This does not include the pre-show reception, which no matter what, you add another $125.
On top of that too, that's your badge you're still having to pay for. Can I please get an ASAP Rocky? Are you shitting me here? Can we start playing shitting me, right? Please. For the love of Christ.
Yes. Shitting me.
Gotta be kidding me. If you really want the full SMT experience, I guess you want to spend $200
full on SMT everything. Experience.
Well, here's the thing too also, is they also announced later on that there's merchandise.
Oh no.
There's t-shirts, there's posters, there's a bag, there's keychains, and of course, light pens.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Like, you're talking about light pens. Oh, no. Well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, light pens. You also get the t-shirts. Looks pretty sick, by the way.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, and the tote bag as well. But anyways.
Around this time, we also got a teaser that Neon District is coming back. And if it comes up again, I'll mention it. Things like Masquerade, Applications, WCS, the World Cosplay Summit, Fashion Show, Applications, the Maid Cafe, Butler Cafe, Panels, AMV. And then the first guest of honor that announced that I'm seeing here is Aki Bright. Aki Bright is a Japanese manga artist, illustrator who worked for DC Comics, Hasbro, and BMW.
All right.
Fashion show. Industry badges are announced.
March 31st, like AX Hotel Block is the last day.
I saw a post about AX Hotel.
That's for exhibitors and artists.
Oh, not for general attendees.
It's not for general attendees.
Yeah. Wait. So exhibitors and artists can get their hotel room before the general audience gets it. Okay.
Last call for an upgrade, a refund.
Yeah, that's like, what, a month ago?
That was back in March 31st, so it was the last day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like, for example, March, on April 3rd, they mentioned update your shipping address for your through ShowClix. You have it until April 21st. It's now May 5th, so you're a long way from home.
So well, baby.
Is it just for your mail-in badge?
Yeah.
Yeah, for your mail-in badge. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. AMVs that we talked about. AX Mobile app. The 18 over After Dark Maid Cafe is sold out.
That sold fast, actually. Wow.
April 16th. Oh, hey, guys. Cosplay Senpai. Aikosu is back. And it's the same damn photo.
So they're gonna be at Fanime, and then they're gonna go straight to AX from there. Okay, cool.
Because one convention was not enough on top of many other things.
Con season, baby! You gotta make the rounds.
Money. Hey, there you go. But plus the thing too is, like, I'm guessing they're really big guests of honors now. I mean, if they go to Fanime and then they go to AX, it's like, wow! Like, from one con in California to a bigger con in Anime Expo. So, good for them, I guess.
Mascots got their birthday.
Yeah. April 17th, Artist Alley is sold out. There are 550 of them going. Oh, God.
Don't tell me they're putting it there in that parking lot, like in the bottom, like in the basement.
Where else are they going to put it?
Of course they're going to put it in, like, Hall H. They never put it anywhere else. It's always a clusterfuck in that hall.
It always is a clusterfuck. I mean, just looking at all the videos and stuff, it just tells me, like, why? Like, it's a freaking fire hazard. People are gonna be like, this is bad.
Can they open, like, you know, like, more doors or some shit like that for ventilation?
Yeah. Can you tell them that?
Wish.
I don't know.
What's worse is they even put the car shows and all the cars down there too. It's like, damn, like, all the Atashas are, like, with all the sweaty people are.
But the deal is, like, they can't even, like, get some good ventilation in there. Even if you put AC in there, it's still gonna be warm.
It's July in LA. You're surrounded by concrete. The sweat's gonna happen regardless.
Yeah. So I don't expect something good from art. Well, I mean, good for the artists. Like, they're going to sell stuff, but it's going to be hot and humid. Everyone's going to be feeling miserable. I just hope that they actually improve from last year's, like, clusterfuck of what happened at Artist Alley in AX. So, yeah.
Let's see. Looks like they're going to be doing a like a symposium for anime scholars to present their work at Anime Expo. And one of the major themes that they're focusing on is isekai. Wow.
I mean, that is the general theme of stuff that's going on here.
I mean, if you want to write a paper about how Megumin from Konosuba is the best name, that's joking. So there's that. Exclusive merch. We're going to the skateboard model. A whole bunch of Cosplay Senpai announcements. Mobile app. The charity recipient. A reminder that you updated your everything. Oh boy! Get up and go with Pokemon Go at Anime Expo 2023.
Ooh. This is the worst possible thing for a Pogo to happen. I'm not saying, like, in a bad negative connotation, but, like,
it's,
the...
It's, it's gonna be weird because like you're gonna have a lot of people pretty much going around with their phones trying to capture Pokemon.
It's everywhere. Happened before at Comic-Con. I was there when it happened. They were supposed to be a smaller panel next to, you know, Hall H, baby, main front and center.
Fact of the matter is, though, I mean, SDCC compared to LACC, not gonna work. Especially with how much of a clusterfuck we all know LACC is.
Well, Pokemon Go isn't as, you know, as hot as it used to be back in the day.
That's an understatement.
But if you're making this like a Pokemon Go day at, like, for example, back when pre-COVID, you know, the one in Chicago at Grant Park, if it's going to be anything like that, A, it's going to be a clusterfuck, and B, you pray to God they have enough cell towers to handle the incoming traffic when it comes to Pokemon.
You're not going to get, like, a lot of Pokemon pop-up or anything like that. I'm pretty sure there's good – if they're able to actually, like, do well with their apps and stuff, then you could get a lot of Pokemon pop-up. But
guys,
if it doesn't work like that, you're going to probably be like, where are the Pokemon? Oh, snap, I can't log into my account. Oh, no, you know, that kind of thing.
Low Wi-Fi and cell signal, baby.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
say?
The thing is, though, like, I'm trying to say is, like, if you look at the posts, and not to mention on multiple platforms, you have to register for this event. Even if you're, like, I can just fathom that the fact, even if you don't have a badge, people are still going to be ghosting all around the LA Convention Center just to make sure that it can be for this event.
Yeah, they can just chill outside and just capture the Pokemon there.
But knowing us as vets, what it's like to either ghost in or out, or even try to be on the inside to do an event like this, it's going to be utter fucking madness. It's going to be utter fucking madness.
And one of the things I've been bringing up to people I've been talking to people about this is, are they going to do the same thing that they did in Grand Park and bring in extra cell towers to handle incoming bandwidth? The answer is probably no.
No.
Who, Niantic or SPGA?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They need to put anything when it comes to like bigger, like better cell towers, have like better Wi-Fi there, because people probably would be wondering how the heck they're gonna get Pokemon if they cannot connect to their, like, you know, wireless provider. So probably Wi-Fi could get stronger there. Who knows? It's just like they need to do something in order for those phones to actually work and make sure everybody's having a good Pokemon Go experience, or else they're just going to be like, okay, forget this. This app is going to crash on me.
Another thing that's getting me, though, is the fact that given that those of us who were there last year, how many barricades, how many anti-preventive, like getting into the con kind of measures they have now, it's like, can you... Is it really going to work out if everyone's like trying to go around the entire convention, ins and outs of the convention center to make this work? Especially how many times you have to enter, exit, not to mention all the times you have to go through security to do this shit. Like, is this really even going to work? I mean, Jericho was a witness last year. Come on. Like,
well, I didn't have that problem.
you have reasons. You have reasons, but like, You know what I'm saying, at least.
I know what you're saying. My guess, though, I don't think they're going to be adventurous. Like, they'll probably do, like, some exclusive things. Like, say, oh, yeah, stop by the Niantic booth or an entertainment hall or an exhibit hall. Come by and get, like, you know, get a chance at, like, a rare Pokemon, stuff like that. You know, like, drops like that I would expect. I wouldn't expect it all around the convention center.
Oh, boo. That's the best part. When you walk around the con, be like, hey, I'm going to exhibit hall. Hey, I'm going to artist alley.
Hall.
Or I'm going to entertainment hall. Or I'm going to where Masquerade is. And I'm getting all of these like a stamp rally. If you do it like that, that'd be great, but also a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be that adventurous. They'll probably play it safe.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like Matt's kind of onto something. I feel like if they are going to do something, I think a scavenger hunt would be like a very acceptable thing to do for
Pogo. You know how many people are going to be like, you know, attending that scavenger hunt and having them just go around the convention trying to find like this certain
spot. If they can make you take photos of all the Bushiroad characters to get a fucking promo card, then yes, they can make you do a scavenger card. Yes, I fucking did that. And yes, I got my Kobayashi card. And yes, I played just to make sure I could get that card. I don't give a fuck. The scavenger hunt works.
I mean, like once you start it, like it's like a thing. Like when you start an adventure, like if you start an adventure, you can't just want to continue until you reach the end. And then what's your reward? A card.
Here's how I think they could possibly handle the bandwidth. They don't make all of it like they don't what was it? They space out like who can get what at what time at where, you know, like, hey, you know, certain, I don't know, carriers would get this message, other carriers would get this message, and then they can go around, you know? The same things, but certain carriers will only have, or I would say carriers even, it's just, you know, just like at certain times, like these amount of players or some shit like that will get this message, hey, stop by here, or like, oh, hey, this is your quest. You know, shit like that.
That is so, like, just don't sell towers up. All right, that's all you gotta do. Just do the Grand Park thing. Just don't sell towers up and pray to God you can fit everybody in. As I mentioned earlier, Neon District got teased and they announced the first the first set of artists that are coming over. We have Taku Takahashi from Enflow. We have Beignet, which is Nor plus Yusuke and Torina. You can't buy tickets right now. It is $45 at the door. And of course, you have to buy either a 4-day or a 1-day ticket to Anime Expo. Speaking of Anime Expo, as of 5 days ago, batch prices increased. So now for a 1-day Tuesday, it's $60. A 1-day Monday is $80. A 1-day Sunday is $90. A 1-day Saturday is $90. A 4-day child is $40, and a 4-day general attendee is
167.
What, 65?
Of course.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Sorry, ASAP again.
Gotta be kidding me. I'm still not going to the con, so have fun with that for those last minute people.
That was me trying to think about considering going for the day that SMT concert was, and now just ASAP again.
Gotta be kidding me. Hey, you can go to the 1-day concert. You can go for 1 day for $90.
I stand by ASAP Rocky on this one.
Speaking of shit in me, AX has announced some of the exhibitor exclusives from the likes of Sega, Grand Archive, Bushiroad, Hot Topic, Figpin, and more.
You better give me those finder's fees, fellas, if you want the exclusive merch.
Wait, Hot Topic is actually an exclusive exhibitor, which means, we can go to the Hot Topic store.
It's not that they're exclusive, they have exclusive merchandise.
You can get 3 months later after the convention's over with.
I get it. Yes, it's like exclusive merch before it goes to the stores. It's like the same thing that they do for like it's the same T-shirts. It's the same kind of merch that they've had, you know, at their stores to say. So if you like to go for an exclusive T-shirt at Hot Topic, yeah, be my guest. But I can just wait for like three. I can wait for like 3 months or however long that is. I can just see it in my store.
Well, you don't get to have the Persona 25th anniversary shot glasses, do you, mate?
Oh, god damn it. I mean, I gotta thank you for the mug, though. I'll take the mug.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I just realized by going through all of this, I think AX's theme this year is Isekai.
Oh, fuck it, right?
Possibly.
I think it is. Because if you watch the video, the videos have been dropping
It literally says in their thing, transport to another world. Experience the magic of AX. It sounds like an isekai.
Hey, you know, if you look at the most recent video that they posted, where it's kind of like the second half when they warp out of like the real world and into the isekai world, and you go to like those last couple of frames where it shows LACC overgrown, it looks like some shit out of The Last of Us.
Gee, didn't we cover something like that back in like 2011? I swear to fucking god we covered something like that in 2011.
It was 2013 when we were there the final day, and it was like, man, it feels like it's just like we're in The Last of Us Part 1 at the time.
The Last of Us cosplayers.
Those I remember those two. But yeah, that is Anime Expo, and the last post they made was that second half of that animation of them being isekai. And then, of course, the one big AX registration is open. So we have yet to learn anything, really. They have yet to drop like a big name, like the big name that's going to be like, oh shit, here comes everyone. And we'll probably talk about that after we get past Fanime.
Something tells me like they'll have a lot up their arsenal. It's just like, you know, they always do this.
Nate, for the love of Christ, as AX veterans, you know damn good and well.
Yeah.
That all the bombs drop.
Yep.
Literally 2 to 3 weeks before like, the convention starts.
Literally the month before AX starts. So I'm not going to be surprised if they say, for example, like a big Japanese voice actor comes by. If I swear to God, like the Love Life girls come, I'm like, oh no, here we go again.
Right. Hold up. Yeah. What's so in addition, totally forgot about this, but this was announced back on February 8th. Yoshitaka Amano is going to Anime Expo.
Yeah, he was like the first guest announced.
Yeah, he was the first guest. Yeah. I don't know if we've mentioned him yet, so we'll mention him here. But yeah, he's worked on a little known title called the Final Fantasy franchise. You guys ever heard of it?
Vaguely.
Okay, so if that isn't hype enough, obviously that will bring the Final Fantasy guests to AX. But there's more that'll come, so who knows how big this will be. Here comes another clusterfuck probably coming in July.
Yeah. Speaking of clusterfucks, we're going to move on to a month down the line after Anime Expo. We're going to talk about Otakon that's happening July 28th to the 30th in Washington, D.C. And the reason why I'm bringing them up is all the way back in March, they announced that that the convention is they are not going to require masks or proof of vaccination at their event. This is from Anime News Network. We'll post a link in our show notes to the article. And it says here that the official website for Otakon announces COVID-19 policy for this year's event on that Friday. The policy says that masks and proof of vaccination are no longer mandatory for attendees of the event in alignment with quote-unquote state and federal guidance. And of course, they say, this is where we're kind of leaning into, is they still recommend that attendees wear masks indoors, practice hand washing, hygiene, get vaccinated, and boost it if they're able, which I think is kind of like been this notion ever since, let's say, last September-ish. And the reason why I've been holding off on the Fanime one is because as of 2 days ago, FanimeCon is still holding on to their policy, which is you have to be vaccinated and you have to be masked up throughout the convention.
Just fucking ASAP Rocky this whole fucking pod. God damn it.
Gotta be kidding me. I mean, here's the thing. We're kind of living in a society right now where it's like...
in a society. Sorry.
Wait, what?
No, you just said it is a society. You know that meme?
Oh. Damn it, man.
That's your fault, dude.
Yeah, bringing it up. Sure. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, most of us are kind of like feel comfortable now without it. But I can understand a couple of people that are kind of like, I still want to wear it. Just want to stay safe, you know?
Anime Expo was a huge, like, indifference about that last year.
Mask policy was recommended. Sure,
I'll get to Expo in a second. Go ahead, Nate. Sorry.
No, that was it.
So I'm looking at their policy, and one of the things that I had a big criticism last year, we talked about this a little bit earlier, was when the whole enhanced COVID zone for the black and white ball occurred, where it was, hey, you have to wear N95 in this particular location, but we don't require it anywhere else. Well, if you're going to do a masking policy, you might as well do what KomoriCon is doing and say, hey, we're only allowing N95, KN95, N94, KN94, that equivalent. We're not allowing paper masks. We're not allowing bandanas. We're not allowing anything else. We're allowing those ones because at least those ones have some sort of filtration, unlike the other ones that really don't have an impact on preventing the spread of whatever it's COVID, RSV, the flu, whatever. The other thing I love here, and this is under the vaccination policy, and it's the last bullet point for indoor masking. It says here, please follow masking policies for restaurants and other spaces operated by our facility partners. Yeah, what if they don't have a policy?
Then take it off.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like I said last year, if I go to Fanime and I go to the Black and White Ball, I have to wear a mask. But as soon as I'm done and I'm going to go eat at Original Joe's next door, I can take that mask off.
Yep. Yep.
That sounds about right. In 2022? Sorry. It is 2020. Holy shit. Wait, 2022?
So last year was 2022. And we still had the mask policy.
Yeah, because last year I didn't have an issue with them having a mask policy. Because, we were kind of like...
Well, then again, it was also in the wild ride of COVID. I mean, like, we still had high cases in winter. People were still scared. Yeah, I mean, everybody also was, you know, kind of fearing that they might get it and all that. And I understand that.
Because I remember in our discussion in 2022, which was like, okay, that's cool, a policy. The only issue is that, you know, everywhere else, they don't have a policy. But that was this time last year. And then we talked about Komori and all that, which, by the way, as I said, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but KomoriCon has their policy still in place for that particular con. Meanwhile, I've been to cons already that don't require any vaccines or any masks. Nate and Jericho, you've gone to ALA already, and they didn't have any mask on. And it's funny because either way, some people are going to get pissed off. And I remember and this is a comment that's kind of stuck to me for a very long time. Back when they reposted their COVID-19 vaccination policy on Facebook, somebody said, as somebody with long COVID, I can't breathe as well, so I can't wear a mask for something shorter than a couple minutes at a time. But as they said, they went on, they said, but you go, girl, you double down on that policy and don't care about those who have been affected by this. I'm like, well, shit. It's not protecting those who don't want to get COVID. It's those who have COVID, who have long COVID. Because we know long COVID's a thing. We just don't know what the long term is going to be. We already know 1, 3, 5, 10 years on the road.
It's more towards long term effects after you got COVID.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the fact that you can't wear a mask because you've had COVID. I didn't know you could have that.
That's the thing. Like, if you have long COVID, you have like symptoms that were still probably lingering on once you got that virus.
Yeah.
So, for example, you can still cough. You can probably have those breathing problems. And it definitely wouldn't be effective if you actually do have a mask on because you can't breathe properly.
It's just odd that, like, but again, as I said, nobody's happy either way. It's either there's a policy or not. Because I remember you guys were talking about it a while back at ALA that people were disappointed that there was no policy at ALA.
Yeah, I mean, for now, it feels like it's just anybody's choice. I mean, to be fair, look, I think I felt more comfortable when I went to Florida. I mean, Jericho, you were there too when you went to Disney World. How did you feel about like the mask policy? Did you wear it throughout vacation?
Here's my perspective. Because it's, you know, say Disney World, Universal, they're big open theme parks. It's, you know, open air. I'm not going to be so concerned because, you know, I'm not in a densely populated crowd indoors. Cons are a different matter, unfortunately.
That's true. Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
We are indoors, like literally within breathing distance of each other. You know, Comic-Con especially, like, you know, and other big conventions, you know, where you're shoulder to shoulder or neck to neck to next to somebody, and you can smell them. You can get the whiff. Yeah,
they're breathing down your neck. Yeah, they're breathing down your neck and everything.
I'm just saying, like, as someone who's, you know, in the healthcare profession, if you have all your vaccinations, you've had all your boosters, you did everything right, you know, and you feel comfortable not wearing a mask, then that's completely fine. You know, there's no more ordinances, there's no more restrictions that would tell you to do so otherwise. However, if you are someone who is, say, immunosuppressed, is someone who is in danger of possibly catching COVID or any other kind of virus or bacteria or infection, then you might need to reconsider in terms of your own health. Not to say that you shouldn't go to the con to enjoy it, but, you know, there's going to be risks. There's going to be... You have to take the pros and cons. You gotta consider your risks. You know, I'm just saying, I already know someone, a dear friend of mine, who passed away in April because she got sick from ALA. So, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's... Like, don't put it lightly. Because, like, you know... I guess, you know, it's up to you. You take the risk. You understand perfectly what you're gonna go put yourself through. And as someone who's, you know, as con veterans, all of us here on the panel, we all know how it's like. So, you know, it's entirely up to you.
We don't all deal with COVID, even though as of talking here, the CDC is ending their declaration as of next week, and the WHO, the World Health Organization, just declared the pandemic over, as I think it was today. So it's kind of interesting we're talking about that, yet these cons, which again, they have totally a right to do so, to tell your people that are coming in to wear a mask and be vaccinated, you can do that. But now we're kind of like, we have more information, we have more data, we know the fact that, yes, vaccines are available, treatments are available, home tests are now available, and, you know, and it's not like we kind of really know how to deal with COVID, I think. But, you know, now it's to the point where, you know, I'm kind of in this position where it's like, what Fanime is doing is really turning me off to the point where I don't want to go to Fanime because of this one particular policy. Wow.
Yeah,
that and the 24-hour thing. Because I think if you get rid of the vaccine and the, actually, I don't really care about the vaccine policy. You can leave that there. If you get rid of the mask policy, you bring back the 24-hour, you might bring me back to con. Because I can think of so many better things I can do than going to Fanime and feeling somewhat miserable wearing a mask the entire day.
My thing right now is that, look, right now, it is anybody's choice to wear a mask or not. But having that rule that Fanime is doing is kind of more of a demand for, like, all the attendees to say, wear a mask because this is our rule. And that kind of dampers, like, an attendee's perspective of them going to con. It's like, dude, I want to have fun at the convention. And you just wanted me to just wear this the whole time? Yeah.
Especially when I've been to cons before that don't require me to wear a mask, and I've been totally fine.
There have been times like in ALA, for example, like there have been times where I'm like, I don't feel comfortable because my mask is actually bothering me when I'm wearing my cosplay, so I took it off for a couple like hours and I still feel fine. Like, it's not bad at the moment. I don't know. I mean, like, from the way that Fanime is kind of putting up this whole mask policy, it's their choice, I guess. And it's how attendees is supposed to, like, you know, go to Fanime, but I feel like it's way too much, especially right now at this time. You don't need this anymore. I feel like if they get a decision, not like a big demand for everybody to wear a mask now, because it feels like everybody's comfortable with deciding if they want to wear it or not. You can't really just like go into the rule, like go offhand and go straight to saying wear it or you're not attending, you know?
I mean, that's pretty much what they're saying, but I mean, in the very least, like, give us a choice, but at least let us be responsible in our own ways. But I mean, just like, again, this is just going to turn out to be the rebellion like we had at AX last year. Like, people are just literally going to like choose not to do so, even if it says it in the rule book. I mean, the way that people got away scot-free last year, AX was ridiculous. I still follow the rules.
I'm going to talk about AX for a minute, because AX was like a whole different situation, because AX is, I consider AX a national convention. So not only have people coming in from California, but you have people coming in from different states and different areas. And all of them
different countries.
Different countries
all worldwide.
And at the time, place, different places had different COVID policies. So some of them, and again, there's a lot to digest when it came to the policy of wearing a mask and being vaccinated at Anime Expo and how that all fell apart. I felt like with Fanime, though, it's a little bit different because primarily you're talking to those who are attending Fanime, and they're all, for the most part, relegated to the Bay Area / Northern California. And most of them, so far, are telling Fanime, yes, we will wear a mask to show up to your convention. Now, whether or not there's a dip in numbers, or there actually is an open rebellion, as I maybe had talked about in my convention preview, but Anime Expo, they have to say something right now, because if they don't say anything and they go into this con assuming there's a policy, there is gonna be, it's gonna be a lot worse than what we saw in 2022. But we're not gonna speculate just yet. We'll hold off on that, and we'll kind of get that as we get closer to both Fanime and also Anime Expo. But hey, at least one convention to deal with any of that, because it's not happening anymore. Yes, press F to pay respects to Crunchyroll Expo, because all the way back on February 9th, they announced that they were pausing CRX to focus on attending a growing roster of expos and festivals across the world. No! And it's interesting that if you click on the link, it says, hey, blah, 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 we decided... We also hope you could join us to watch the 7th Annual Crunchyroll Anime Awards on March 4th. That's how old this shit I've been holding on to, this whole talk about Crunchyroll Expo. We have the Anime Awards
app. It already happened, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, why announce about the cancellation of a big convention and then end up talking about the Anime Awards? That's weird.
So when this first came out, I thought to myself, okay, it does make sense to pull away from a saturated market like a conventions in California and go to regions where cons don't really exist, or expos for that matter, like India, Central America, Middle East. After this announcement, I heard that Crunchyroll was going to Mumbai Comic Con, which then I realized that there's actually a Mumbai Comic Con, and therefore a Comic Con in India, the second most populous country in the world next to China. And I'm like, damn, I have yet to hear anything coming from that region when it comes to anime and manga and Japanese, you know, imported products, which unfortunately is not done by a Japanese company. It's done by an American company called Crunchyroll. But I think the more juicy theory is it all relates back to Big Brother Sony. And they saw that failing convention as impacted their bottom line. They need Crunchyroll to turn a profit. And they went, nope, we're getting rid of you. Because we can cut costs, and for probably the same amount or less, we can have a bigger reach by doing expos and other conventions. You know, we'll do this Mumbai thing. We're going to go to Anime Expo. We're going to go to Otakon. We're going to go to these other cons and places all across the world, and we can expand our global reach even more.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I'm just kind of like, well, I mean, first off, I was kind of like shocked. I mean, I thought there would be another CRX, which everybody I think was planning to, you know, go to the next CRX and be part of that convention. But seeing that it's canceled in February, that kind of like lessens the load for people here. I mean, like, they'll go to Fanime now, and then they'll probably think about going to another convention that's going to come up here real soon, like Anime Impulse Bay Area or Off-Kai Expo. But yeah, actually, when I first heard about it, I was kind of shocked. I was like, whoa, what made CRX, like, cancel? And I feel like there's some factors that came to it. I mean, like, back in 2019, it was a really amazing convention. It was all themed perfectly. If you saw, like, all the pictures and all the videos that people were putting up for CRX, it was, like, a really fun environment to be in.
Man, those are good memories, Nate. Those were definitely good memories in 2019.
For real, like, it felt like an airport, right? Like, you got your badge, your technically was your boarding pass to you to go to CRX and attend Dealers Hall Artist Alley, pretty much Crunchy City, that's what they call.
They had a good set list of guests, too, God forbid. Flo was there.
Flo was there.
I mean, we got to interview like the voice actor behind the original Vegeta, Japanese voice actor for Vegeta.
That photo is
probably one of our best photos, I will say.
I must say,
on the blog,
dude. There's just so many great like memories, and plus like the press conferences we had with everybody that were, you know, guest attendees there. I think CRX definitely treated us well there. But when it comes to 2022, when CRX came back, I felt like it just felt odd. Like something was missing. Like, where's the theming? Where's the creativity that CRX had back in 2019? Because it just felt like a bland Sony convention. Like, you get to see Sony promotions everywhere, from the PlayStation games, like Horizon. What is it? You have Spider-Man, Miles Morales have like their promotion, like stand here and there. So it's like, there's a bit of anime Crunchyroll stuff there, but then you also do have a little mix of Sony.
Big Brother Sony trying to flex the money and influence on the convention scene.
It felt weird for that, but at the same time, they also did bring in a lot of Hololive. So it's like a huge Hololive convention that happened at CRX. And I've noticed, and it's weird because, like, yeah, you do have the Hololive attendees and they're all like hype about that. But I've noticed too that the attendees really dipped when it came from 2022 to 2019. Like 2019, a lot of people really loved CRX. In 2022, it just felt like a bland convention. Like, it didn't feel right. Like, for example, like the concert they had there, like Burnout Syndromes and Sim, both of them had awesome shows, but it was in a place where it's like, why were you doing it in this room? You could have just done it in the Civic Center across the street, or you could have also done it in the same concert hall where Flo was performing, because they were all like spacious venues, while here in this room it's more like a big clusterfuck. Nonetheless, those concerts were great. And it just felt so weird, like different. It felt different back in 2022. So I don't know if it really was like, I don't know if it was Big Sony that pretty much said like, dude, you didn't do well, we're cutting you off. Or it was more towards, we spent so much money getting all these guests, Hololive guests, to come join us, that in the end it didn't really make a profit. That's why we needed to skip Crunchyroll 2023. And it kind of scares me now, considering that if you do cancel a year, it kind of tells you that you're on the bad path of like probably ending your convention. Because I've seen this before. If you cancel like after 1 year, there's a big chance that you're not going to come back again. And that's the bad part about like saying a big announcement like that. So I just hope that it really makes like Crunchyroll Expo come back, but in a good way. But at the same time, it just feels like CRX may be in the end. I don't know. It just really is a really odd state about what CRX is going to happen coming up.
I don't remember we talked about it, but there was that thing where it was like, wait, people didn't like the fact there was all of these Hololive people here at Crunchyroll Expo? That was news to me. I thought everyone loved that there were all of these personalities that everyone loved. But some people apparently didn't like the fact that all the Hololive people were there.
If I remember correctly, too, wasn't most of the Hololive stuff behind the paywall? Not actually part of the commission.
No. There were some panels where you could attend it, and then like for example, like meet and greets are different. You got to be lucky to actually meet one of those Hololive characters. It's more towards panels. It's like that's for free. You can attend like the Gura and Ame panel, for example. Like that one is for free. Plus, like if you attend CRX, you can also get a video on demand of it if you missed it. So, you know, you had chances for you to watch it. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't really much big. I mean, like, I don't know about the paywall thing. I don't think there really was anything about that. But yeah, I don't know more information. I don't know much about that.
So the one major question that I have, and I think we're still having moving forward, is what happens to not only Crunchyroll Expo America, what happens to Crunchyroll Expo Australia? Because remember, last year, Madman Anime Festival got taken over by Crunchyroll. It became Crunchyroll Expo Australia in 2022, and how much of a shithole that was. And I want to give a quick shout out to Discord user Icy Rose on the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, their Discord server. Back when this announcement first came up, Icy Rose had mentioned the disaster that was CRX Australia. And at the time, I said, I wonder if this is just implying that CRX USA is on hold, unless I missed some sort of parallel announcement for CRX Australia. And the thing is that for the most part, I think the Australian community has accepted the fact that they're going to lose CRX Australia, which was held in Melbourne last year. Because according to what Icy Rose has said, CRX will place Madman Anime Festival, which took place in both Brisbane and Melbourne, but they canned the one in Brisbane and just held the one in Melbourne. So if CRX is gone and one of the Madman Anime Festivals is gone, the only thing they have left in all of Australia is Smash in Sydney, which some people consider to be the best con of all of Australia, but that's the only one you have in a big country that has a sizable population, a sizable population that likes anime and manga. And as I mentioned, we talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it then, but they hoped that they were doing a, they would hope to do a better job since they completely blundered the last attempt. This is all quoted from Icy Rose. I hope that they do a better job next time since they completely blundered the last attempt, which is, that'll be disappointing because Madman Anime Festival Melbourne was one of the best cons outside of Smash Con in Sydney. And I don't understand why they just didn't consult with Madman, which is a company, the anime company, I think it's Australian based, on how to organize it since they owned the company at the time. And I double checked everything. And if I missed something, please let me know. Please send me a DM. Please send me an email at cacallblack@gmail.com. Please send us on social media. Let us know if there actually is going to be a CRX Australia coming up, and I want to say September/October.
Just the fact that I heard that it could be a disaster, maybe just the reason why big time Sony just said forget the convention scene. Is that what I'm hearing here?
If that was the case, then they would have said we're going to put our US and Australia cons on hold as we go ahead and do a different route of going to different conventions and different expos to expand our footprint. They should have said that, but when they mentioned just CRX, they left it hanging of what's going to happen to CRX Australia. And again, as of right now, everyone's assuming, no, it's not coming back, which is very unfortunate because as people said, like Icy Rose, that the Melbourne convention was actually pretty damn good. And it gave an alternative convention to the main one in Sydney. Not to mention, I think Brisbane is on the same coast as Australia. As the same coast as Sydney. And then Melbourne is all the way on the other side of the country, on the western edge.
You know what's kind of funny? I just keep on putting up, I was kind of looking at vlogs of people going attending CRX Australia. I heard disasters as worst convention, disaster convention. There's literally a video that compared CRX Australia to DashCon.
Hold on, let me back up. I apologize, Australian viewers. I should have looked this up. I'll try to do my memory. Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne are on the same eastern coast. It's Perth that's on the western coast. So that's on the way other side of the country. I apologize.
Like you, look at the general video. That's not good to see if you were gonna put something like that. I mean, it's a header. Obviously, that's kind of like attracting people to see that, but now I want to see more. Now I gotta see more of these. Oh man,
that's pretty much Crunchyroll Expo in a hole. Just
is it also that you're shitting me? Shitting me,
gotta be kidding me. Yes, unfortunately, because Sony's influence is taking from all of us. Yes, you gotta be shitting me. Shitting me,
gotta be kidding me. So my thing right now is that, do you think they can actually come back?
You know what? Based upon what I say CRX US, no, but CRX Australia, yes. because.
But isn't that a disaster though?
Yeah, it is, but that's because you were running it. If you give it back to those who were running it prior hand, or you just better run it, I think, because especially if you're the icon of the country, besides Smash and Sydney, there's still going to be some sort of expectation on your end to be just as good. Because if there's a shitty con in California, I'm just going to go another one in California, or I'm going to go another one in Arizona, or Oregon, or Washington. Australia, there's not that many options in terms of like the big, big, big time cons.
So they will only go for like Australia just because they could probably profit, because all the anime fans will probably, all the anime fans will probably go there.
Yeah.
While in like California, for example, they have other conventions that people can attend to. They don't need to go to CRX.
Honestly, though, if this is really, truly the end for CRX in America because of Sony, or at least because of the disaster and then Sony pulling the plug, truly, it's seriously.
Dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways to die.
Here is my thing. I think just because CRX is dead in the US does not mean it's like. It sucks, but I don't think it's going to make that much of an impact. Unlike what would happen if CRX Australia closed, because then you're just down to one major convention in Australia. It's like, say, for example, if one of the big five shut down, you know, I'm not going to name names because I'm not going to put any bad juju out there. But if one of the
we're not putting any bad omens for one of the big five, yes.
Or any major convention that exists. If they shut down, God forbid. You know, at least it will be sad because of the rich history. But, you know, people will find other conventions to go to because we have so many here in the United States. But you can't say that for something like Australia. Yeah, you can have like the small one day, or you have like a regional, like at like a college, for example. But when it comes to cons that make national attention or make international attention, like, for example, back when Pro Expo Australia was happening, they Project was tweeting about it. And I knew about it because I was reading on the internet. Same thing here with Crunchyroll Expo in the United States. But if Crunchyroll Expo went away, am I sad? Yes. Am I disappointed because there could be some nefarious stuff happening in the background? Yes. But am I going to move on? Yeah, because I'm just going to find another convention to go to, which is really unfortunate. And for some people, they may not have that option because all they do is go to conventions within the Bay Area. They don't go to something like Sac Anime. They don't go to Anime Expo. All they go to is whatever the hell's in the Bay Area, which is unfortunate. I look at it from all angles.
There are some that come up to Sac Anime. I mean, there are some friends that, you know, love the guests. I mean, the guest stars in Sac Anime.
We'll talk. I don't want to end on a bad note. So we'll talk about Sac Anime at the very.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying though, like, if it is going to be the end for CRX, then it was a good couple of years that CRX had.
It had a good run.
Yeah, it had a good run. I mean, it started well in Santa Clara, then it moved to San Jose. And I believe that it was like the best place to actually have the convention in San Jose, considering that their best year was in 2019, where they had that awesome theme. Everybody was having fun. It looked like it was an amazing convention experience until it just like got weird in 2022. And like I said, if it is going to end at 2022, then so be it. I mean, if it does come back, it's awesome. But at the same time, like, If it did have to end in 2022, then you know what? I had my fun. I was able to go to a Sim concert. I was able to go check out Burnout Syndromes. And I was also able to meet up with Gura. So at least I ended up on a high note there.
Speaking of high notes, I want to finish up by talking about Sac Anime Summer 2023, which is all the way to September. So we got a long way to go. But during Sac Anime Spring, I was able to preview some of the guests that are going to this convention in the summertime. Headliners include Don Bluth, Tom Kenny, Steve Bloom, the aforementioned Cher Mulay, Irene Bedard, Ian Sinclair, Sonny Strait, Brandon Potter, Stephanie Young, Sean Hannigan, Sarah Nicole Robles, Kissy Sissy Jones and Mela Lee.
Sissy Jones.
Sissy Jones.
Yeah, I'll get it right because I actually saw her.
Yes, because okay. Yeah, I know you're gonna correct me because the last three that I mentioned are all from some show called the Owl House or some shit like
that. Yes, it is the Owl House. It is an amazing Disney Channel show. Please watch it, everybody. I mean, not gonna lie, like a lot of anime fans are definitely into that show. People are cosplaying from it. People are drawing fan art from it. It's a really amazing show, and it's awesome to hear that Sack Anime Summer has some big headliners. I mean, Don Bluth, for example, we all grew up with his movies, right? American Tail, Land Before Time. Yeah.
I remember Falcon West.
Hey, they're bringing Tom Kenny, aka SpongeBob, all right?
Guys, for God's sakes, he's done more than just SpongeBob. I mean, he's well known for other things.
Dude, he's just well known as SpongeBob, but I know he's like Heifer from Rocko's Modern Life. He was, what was it? He was, I forgot his name. Oh, the Ice King from Adventure Time. A lot of good voice acting, but everyone knows he's over 20 years by now. He's SpongeBob. I mean, everybody knows that. But here's the thing. Like, he's a legend. If he's like voice acting SpongeBob for over 20 years, you know, all generations are gonna go up to his booth or to his panels just to get an autograph or something from him. You know, so expect a huge Sack Anime Summer this year.
I mean, does anyone remember him as Spyro the Dragon? Like, God forbid, any of our childhoods who played Spyro the fucking Dragon? Like,
I never played Spyro.
I actually never noticed that.
I remember playing the demo from PlayStation Magazine. You know, that one level of Spyro, you just play it over and over again until you got the full game. Then you played the full game.
Oh my! I'm calling Rocky back.
Gotta be kidding me. he's going back to the old archives. Yes. here's what I'm predicting. Because it's just a small lineup of like amazing guests, I know what Sack Anime is doing the same thing. It's doing the same thing as IEX. They're just waiting for like the next month and the next month to actually pick out their big names.
Fanime hasn't really been known to drop bombshells at the last second.
No. I didn't say Fanime. Sack Anime.
That's
because not everyone's announced yet, and they usually roll this stuff out. Because when I took the photo of the flyer, I only took a picture of one side. There was only one side. Usually there's a second side that lists even more voice talent that goes, because, you know, for example, you have five people from One Piece, they could bring more in. They have people announced from the Owl House. They could bring more in. Dude, we have Sherry Lane. We have Steve Bloom. Someone could be accompanying those two. I Irene Bedard as Pocahontas. So there's a lot more, and it's more of like when the announcement is here, it's here. It's not necessarily like a whole nefarious, Sack Anime is waiting so that they can make max profit. It's just whenever they can get announced. Because I always feel like, you know, this is personal bias, that it's more of that Sack Anime, when they're able to announce the guests, they can announce the guests. More like Anime Expo, where it's like, we're going to hold off on it for max value, which I don't want to get sued.
No, I understand. But I understand too. But the thing is, like, dude, the last couple Sack Animes have been themed, if you noticed. Like, Sack Anime Spring was fairly on ParentsCon. You have most of the cast there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I know what you're talking about, because there's a One Piece track, there's an Owl House track. As you mentioned, it was Fairly Odd Parents, also Sonic Frontiers. Roger Craig Smith was there as Sonic. And then Winter was Apex Legends.
Was it My Hero?
My Hero, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's at some point, you start picking up on who this collection of voice actors they're all related to. And then at some point, like, for example, they'll do a One Piece panel, they'll have all these people. They'll do an Owl House panel, they'll do all of these people. They'll do something related to SpongeBob.
I forgot. Sack Anime Winter was Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yes. Wow, that was... God, I thought that was almost yesterday.
There is a theme that is going on in every Sack Anime, and it's working.
Well, yeah. I mean, SAC anime, I kind of wish they reported numbers, but it feels packed every single time that I go.
Because everyone knows about Avatar. Everyone knows about Fairly Odd Parents. Everyone grew up with Fairly Odd Parents.
Most of the big bangers that they bring out, or most of the people they've been bringing as of the last few years, it's either a theme or amount of people that are from either the same series or are well notable that have that notoriety, that the fact that they're gonna flock in because of these certain shows, franchises, series, characters, anything in particular. But it's always not only a positive outlook compared to, I mean, I get it. SAC anime has been growing. I mean, just like, I haven't been in a couple of years, guilty as charged, but from what I've been seeing on the outside, the convention center has finally grown. The area has grown. The convention is growing. We're seeing more and more AAA guests for something that used to be considered a small town con.
Yep. Well, it just puts Sacramento on the map, too. So it just tells people, like, hey, Sacramento's a town. We are also huge anime fans. Come on by. Or anime comic book fans. Because you also did have, like, Disney folks come by. You also did have...
Oh, yeah. They had the voice of Goofy or Max, one of the two. They
oh, freaking! The that's too. Right. Yeah, Bill Farmer.
Bill Farmer. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of the last years I went, they had a lot of Nightmare Before Christmas guests. I mean, Oogie Boogie was there. Like, the voice of Jack Skellington was there. Kevin Eastman of TMNT fame was there. I mean, fucking American McGee, of all people, was there. Like, can you really see any more of a triple A all-star cast or these all-star like guests honored to be at that convention? Like,
right. I mean, that's, I think, what they're doing right now. I mean, it is working right now. The fact that they're bringing themed, a themed convention to say, because with all their special guests they're bringing back, it just feels like this is going to be this con, it's going to be that con, like Avatar in winter or Fairly Odd Parents in the spring. It's feeling right now in the summer, it's going to be Owl House. I'm leaning towards Owl House because if you got three of the voice actors, that's great. Now I'm just waiting for Alex Hirsch. If he comes, I'm going.
Oh, dude. If they bring Alex Hirsch, oh, shit.
Because he's voice of King in the show. And of course, he's the creator of Gravity Falls. So There's a chance. I'm just waiting for that moment.
Don't get my hopes up. I know.
I put my hopes up. I'm not putting my hopes up.
But you know what? Yes. At the same time, it's like, oh, they got bringing all these people, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Charles Martinet is going to SAC Anime Spring. I'm like,
whoa. Okay, so here's the thing. Like, because of how popular the movie became, just watch a lot of fans come by.
I will tell you this much. Thank God convention had him on the weekend opener for the Mario Brothers movie. And wait, not what? Because think about it. What is everyone complaining about? That Charles Martinet was not an active voice. He was not he was not Mario and Luigi. It was Chris Pratt and who played Luigi? Charlie Day. Yeah. I will say Daniel Day-Lewis for some reason. But then the fact that, spoiler alert, Charles Martinet played Mario's dad in the opening sequence and then some other voices in the background. So, and I'll say this as much. If a lot of people, at some point, if you're Charles Martinet, are you going to get tired of people telling you that, hey, I feel bad, or it's a travesty that you weren't cast as really Mario and that you were relegated to a side character?
Like, do you feel like you don't have enough screen time in the movie? Like, I can just hear the question.
Oh my God.
You hear the press questions for that.
You can hear the questions already just forming in your head. Yeah. And again, what I'm saying is that the fact that maybe some people had not seen the movie yet because it was opening weekend. And then, you know, because remember, it broke box office records that weekend, but it continued to break off box office records week after week after week. So at some point...
We're worldwide now.
Huh?
300 billion, we're worldwide.
Yeah, it's big. But let's say you're Charles Martinet and you're going to a con now. It's been about a month since the movie has come out. a lot of people are gonna, more people are gonna see it, and they're gonna say the same exact shit to you, and you're like, God damn it.
God damn it.
But, like, the rest of us who have seen the movie, like, those of us who picked up on it, it's like, we're cool with that, right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, you do. You just shut the fuck up and just talk about how he's great in Odyssey or 64 or Sunshine or Mario Kart or Luigi's Mansion. And just don't talk about the movie, please, for the love of God. If you're listening to this and you're going to go see Charles Martinet, please do not talk about the movie. Just talk about anything else but it.
I really do hope there's, like, rules about this. Say, for example, if Charles Martinet does come for Sac Anime Summer, like, there will be, like, rules placed in hand.
Because he came for spring, he's not going to be back in for summer. If anything, he might be back next year.
Okay.
The way I look at it, though, Nate, you can't really delegate a question. There's going to be that one audience member that's going to come up.
Let him get kicked out of the con, then.
If the convention is smart enough, you screen the question beforehand. Now, whether or not you screen the question at a panel versus at an autograph session, well, that's all up to Martinet and his entourage that he brings with him at a convention.
He probably will not say anything, and then obviously just
from my experience meeting Martinet, he was really lax. Like, he was really, like, cool about everyone. He was just talking with everyone. Like, if you had a request, you would do it. But I mean, like, he was really chill. I mean, I had really good memories of Martinet when I got to meet him at Sac Anime, like, all those years back.
Every year Martinet has come back, he's been chill. He's been just like, damn, I can go out and have a drink with him. He's that much of, like, just laid back, cool, calm demeanor, and just, you know, I'd love to hang out with him after con. But yeah, it's just, again, if you're going to meet Charles Martinet anytime soon, just please, please, please do not bring up the movie. Just have common sense. You know, just bring anything else up. Just say that you liked him in 64 or Mario Kart, whichever one you thought of as the best Mario. All right.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
How was it that Martinet wasn't completely involved in the movie? Like, come on. Like, I really want to know.
Play the soundbite, please.
Shut the fuck up!
God damn it!
I told you, man! Don't fuck with me!
And on that note, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Calicom Blogcast. I'm not sure we'll be back next week. If we do, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. But if we're not here, then by the next time we come back, we'll do our preview for FanAnimeCon 2023, which is coming up pretty quick. As I said, it's 3 weeks from as we record. And we got 2 weeks before we get to the 1 week marker, which then everyone starts going, oh my God, we're in con mode. Oh my God. Ah, I gotta get all my shit together. Why did I save
money?
I gotta get my last second Honkai Star Rail cosplay together because I don't want to do Genshin anymore. Oh my God, there's so many good designs. Yeah, I. By the way, fuck you, Hoyoverse. I didn't pull Sele, so fuck you. I'll just roll my boy Arlen.
Profound sadness. Sadness.
Anyways, on that note, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Calicom Blogcast. If you like what you heard, please follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Deezer, or wherever else you listen to any podcasts.
Get it? Text a message, I don't know the number. Flexing on these flexes, every bone and muscle. Steady taking shots, never hurting them. Even then, y'all don't worry nothing. And I like to give a shout out to my new man with the game plan. And shout out to my new man with escape plans. 20 bands, rain dance. We can eat the rain check or we can make plans. Pockets loaded, rocket loaded, can't let's rock and roll this. Time to go, lock, stop, and two smoking barrels locked and loaded. Diamonds glowing, chop, climbing on them. You think I'm jumping out the window, how I got them open. Line around the corner, line them up,
taking over. Sometimes I even stop the smoking when it's time to focus. My shade, Dior, my pants, velour. Create, explore, expand, concord.
I came, I saw, I came, I saw. I praise the Lord, then break the law. I take what's mine, then take some more. It rains, it pours, it rains, it pours. I came,